me up, Anime. I've lost track. What's happening now?
I don't know.
Well, when do you pick your cantaloupes?
When we cut them?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think it started Monday. What's the date?
Tuesday. Wednesday. Tuesday. Yesterday?
Well, it's Tuesday the 20th, isn't
it? Yeah.
There it is, right.
Yeah.
There.
Well,
did it finish up cutting them today?
Did they? Well, now they got quite a few out there. They just got a truck or something
coming.
I don't
know what it is. Bob, are those cantaloupes that they stole, or do you know?
No.
They're not sold.
They're
to be sold.
How about your melons? Are you cutting melons?
I don't even know what to do with them. You asking somebody to dump them, you know? I'm farming, and I ain't anxious to learn.
What is
raising cows, I'll help you. Love that.
Yeah. I could use help.
I want a calf. Needs a mama. I want to be a mama for a calf.
You need a calf that wants a mama?
Yeah, I'll be the mama.
Oh, you be the mama.
I want a calf that needs a mama, I said. I mean a good strength cow.
Yeah, you need it. It's a good calf.
I want the calf. I want to raise it on the bottom.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, it's a little troublesome.
Huh?
A little troublesome.
I don't think so. Get one of those buckets that got the nipple down on the side, you know?
Yeah.
You just teach him that's it, and that's
yeah.
where he gets it, and
yeah.
the lady come get it.
Twice a day?
Yeah, three times a day if he needs to have it, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, you gotta watch
the rest of the time, I said, loving him.
You got the bucket, you got every time you do it, you gotta wash the bucket.
I know, I saw it. I know.
Oh, that's mighty regular.
I know. Well, you know, you have two buckets, you know.
Yeah, one of them would get lost if I had it.
I've always wanted to raise a calf that way.
They busted it or something like that. Well.
I want to raise them and I want to teach them to go with the halter and lead and all that. You know, I got a cow on the farm as a pet like that, but she doesn't know what a string or rope around her neck means. She doesn't know what that thing means. And I don't think she can do it. No.
She's not interested.
No, sir.
Well, you know.
You put that string around and start pulling on it, she just do like that and do it back. And she wonder, what the heck
yeah,
you doing?
Yeah. Well, you know, after they get to a certain age, it's hard to teach them.
I know. Well, she's that age.
On that halter business, or rope. I don't know that I'd try it when they get grown.
Oh, no, I couldn't. But I just tried rope around her neck to see
what she'd do. What happens to Marge Mickens when I see him occasionally, but then I miss you?
He's still working.
Does he work solid?
No. I saw it all the time. He's been helping us win.
Yeah.
From the day begin,
Yeah. On the melon.
Uh-huh.
Field
and the
work.
Farm.
Yeah.
Farm.
Farm.
And all that.
Yeah.
And then if we show to help him in the yard and meet a truck driver while we call him, he comes in.
Well, he just works when you need him then.
Uh-huh.
Then when he gets through, he goes home.
Uh-huh.
I see.
And that hasn't been much since squash and watermelon cantaloupes came in.
Yeah. Well, I'd missed him. I wanted to see him about, you know, one or two of those things. I'd missed him. I'm going to take around a few melons. Do you need some? Oh, shoot.
32, Henry.
Big gator down in the
pond.
Here's Bullhead
Dillon. Yes, you can
hear him. He went through that watermelon field the other day. He made a hole through that way he went through.
You see that place, that hole? Yeah.
He went off his trail.
Yeah. Took the shortcut. That shortest route, I guess, right through there.
When he goes away, comes back?
He must. I don't run into him like they did, you know, when they were back there working.
You know, when he said to him the other day, he's going up that Everson, up that road up there. And on up there, past Redwood, that's where he's got his cows on the lake on the right. He said it was a great big one out there in the middle of that damn field.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said, I guess he's talking to him. He's off that prairie going to the lake, I guess.
Yeah. I wonder what Fred would say to that.
Yes, ma'am.
Back in
yes,
the afternoon, they were just shooting those melons.
check up there, those people, and see how long.
Well, I canceled that call, you know. I got
to get
it
done.
Yeah. Well, what I want to ask you about now, this price is on this lumber. Now, that was 25 standard and 75 construction. That's only two before, two six, two eight.
What did they get
two
hold of?
Two before was 102.50.
Well, I don't think
two six,
they get hold of anything, but
Well,
no,
I guess sell us about a third.
I wouldn't think they would be. I don't think they'd eat an egg either.
Oh, they'll take a bite of anything once.
Sure.
Yeah. Cow'll take a bite of anything once, just see what it does.
Well, go ahead and place it.
But, yeah, it's kept on it, more than likely.
On the coastline, ACL. Yeah. Cut the car down now, as more as you can, between 35 and 40,000. I think the last one we got used by 43.
You think they'll come on out
still
now
the
this
top.
Week?
Okay, buddy.
They'll stay on the truck back there again Thursday. I don't think you're going to have any market after that.
Going up Georgia?
Tuesday, well, the market's dropping in. And Tuesday is the night of the deadline, 27th.
I don't know where you went. I'm getting
mad. On the shipping 4th of July loans, and there's living hardly once in a lifetime. I have seen it once or twice. That new shipping loans after the 4th of July. I've seen it happen. Very, very,
very
so.
Yeah. I guess it comes in seasons. You might have a late season or something like that where you'd ship late.
Well, that's true because we're in the cold weather deep. For them to get killed out up there and leave us down here, and they'd have to plant over and make them all go out something like that.
I think that was one countryside out there telling us about it, you know. North Offutt had melons up there, had Mr. Boyd, and they had a time limit on it. They cut them out, and the market was late, and I think the melons were late that year. I think that's where the, you know, the hiccup started.
Well, it's,
I just have to think of it.
I have seen it, 2 weeks after you started shipping, the market would be better than it was when you started.
Yeah.
But that's a rare too.
That's uncommon. Now this year, what stimulated our market was the drought got them down below us. You had those early ones way down.
So, irrigated water and stuff was the stuff that paid off this time.
Laying on the ground.
That's right.
And that's what made the market for them.
And that would work right in here too, wouldn't it?
Right.
That would slow it up right in here.
That's right.
Send it out.
Yeah, and it followed all the way up. And it followed on up there.
I see.
It's really your market is still like a home.
I see. Yeah, it looks like you just have to have it now and check stuff.
Yes,
you're
right. Just trying to grow without warning, you might as well just not try.
Well, I haven't seen Have a little help, then.
I don't know, but somehow that you quite didn't see what you think about it.
Can't help
you.
All right.
Well, it's still better than a cent a pound, I guess.
today where the press said it's something for this, and they overcame it.
Huh.
On the bell note, and it's something for this.
Well, up there, then he'd get a cent and a half.
I tell you, more than likely.
I mean, off the bell.
Huh?
Oh, you mean if he's when he's selling? Well, how does a man do that, sir?
He's mocking it. No competition.
Oh, he got the melons and somebody wants to load up.
Well.
And he got two trucks and wants us to one load.
And he holding him? Well, he's in the business, see? He ain't got no buyers around here. Now, this year, it has been. There's been a demand, see, and we sold a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
For more money for loading right in the truck. Quite a few. But you don't have the demand, see. And what else can you do? You can't ship them yourself. You got to be bonded to ship. Of course, we had our own company up until this year. But you got to be bonded, and it takes a lot of money to, because you got to pay for 12 months. If you have anybody else in mind besides your own, you know, it takes $700 just for you. 3 or 4 weeks for your own stuff, or 4 or 5 weeks. That's where they get you, you know. Now, when the truck come down and bomb direct like they have this year, when you have the demand, they buy a melon and that's their melon. You give them a invoice on that one, on that truck. And that's their one, they paid for it. But,
you don't have to be bonded for that.
No, sir. They don't have to be bonded because they don't know. But if you put them over the rail, these piggybacks, you've got to ship two, and they've got to go to the same destination to get your rate. Understand? They put two on a flat cut over a long car hole, too. And to get your rate on them, it'd be almost prohibitive, you know, just ship one. You've got to ship two, and they've got to go to the same destination. They could go to different houses. You have the same New York and all those are like that. All kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of got to be in it in order to play the game.
And those piggybacks, when you order one of those piggybacks, when they set it down here, that's your piggyback. You're responsible for that thing until it gets back to the railroad. If it had a wreck up there, you're responsible for it.
That's costly. You got to have insurance to cover it?
Well, I'm in buddy. I'm in comfort there when he's in. He would have to have, of course, he couldn't change it.
Well, now that Keith that you know of, he can sign them up the road.
Oh, yes,
right here on the spot?
On the telephone.
Yeah. Yeah. But they weren't here. He went on up. That was.
Well, they went on up there.
But he sold them up to country.
Sold them A&P or something.
I see. You mean they pay a margin like that?
That's where it's just good for this stuff. But it goes all over the United States on that.
Vegetables? Melons?
Most cracked animals, squash, and potatoes. Different things.
Yeah. No central buyer. Each A&P does its own buying.
They have a central buyer.
Yeah. Make anything out of A&P, that's something.
When we had our meetings over there, you know, I used to supervise about 1,000 acres of watermelons a year.
Just think about it.
Got me staggering now, too. but I'd probably come in with 10, 12, 15 cars at night. We would be on a track, and we'd have them inspected. And I'd have to get the inspection certificate, and all them. I'd probably be known in 2 different places. Most of them were down Bellevue and Oxford. And,
well, you'd have them way off like that?
We'd come in, tomatoes and tomatoes.
Well, you're practicing the produce business.
Well, I supervise the growing. And had to be around, you know, see if we couldn't come and got the stuff. But somebody else came and get it, and we didn't know anything about it because we hadn't had pictures of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd have to get the inspection certificates from the inspectors, and then I'd have to go build the cars out. Then I'd have to come into the office and write them up. I'd get home and get the sucker sometime, 11 or 12. Sometime maybe 1 or 2.
Well, you know, I saw just enough of it this year to know what a pain it can be.
You're kidding. Headaches.
I saw just enough of it to sort of get a small idea. The way it can really make you stretch.
Like a night truck all loaded up then and couldn't get out. All those kind of things. Get a car started like we used to do. Back to St. Nelson. Yeah. Out of grave, got to tear it down. And then the packer, he'd raise in because he didn't want that extra work. We had a you know Elbert DeVore now.
I've seen those fellas, yeah.
Well, old man, he was the biggest cusser you ever heard. And we had 35 of them, or something like that. And I was with him over at Anthem. Mm-hmm. And the name of these Tom Watsons. They'd burn easy, you know. Well, we got the load and the inspectors, you know, they'd pull me up and all, and loading about 5 or 6 cars a day. And then they both said, Mom said, well, we got the damn inspectors more. I don't want that. They're holding me up. I said, well, Mr. DeVore, I said, I'll go talk to Mr. Christie. You go call him on the telephone. So I went down there and called him long distance. And Mr. DeVore wants to take his inspection off of him, and they're holding him up. Said, well, Bob, go back and tell him that it's so much better to have an inspection on him. You can sell him and he's pulled up and ready in and all. And, then he said, try to work on with it. I went back up there and told him, he said, God damn, you and Mr. Christian too, I'm going to load my goddamn watermelon. I went back to him. I said, Mr. Christian. I said, Mr. Rose, said, goddamn, you and me too. He said, Bob, send me back up there and tell the inspector, we're sorry, but you're going to have to put it on. And I said, tell Mr. Rose,
go ahead and inspections also. So I went back and he was out of the field about 2 or 3 miles out there. So I... he was out of the field. I went out there and he said, just nice to be said, Bob said, I'm going to leave you and Elmer to have 10 of these mornings. He had another couple who had ready for old man Bear. He said, I'm going to take the bunch over there. I said, we're going to load those mornings over there and say, you and Elmer can do this. So Elmer and I loaded 75 cars mornings there without inspection. And we didn't have a kick on one. And one day, we had everything on the track loaded but one car. And the car looked like it was ammoniated. What I mean by that, it looked like it had had fertilizer or something shifting. The car hadn't, you know, I was afraid that it might rot melon. So I went to the farm and I called Mr. Fisher to ask him what to do about it. And I didn't want to take it on myself. He says, well, wait a minute, I had could have come over. I told him what it was, and he said, well, wait a minute. So the director says, Mom, said, I can't come over there right now. I said, you and Elmer work it out best you can. So we decided to go on a little car, which we did, and then my dad had any trouble. And the next morning, I came in and saw Mr. Christian. I said, Mom, said, leave me. I couldn't come over there. I said, Mr. DeFore was sitting right in front of me. And he said, no, I said, let Elvin and Bob work that out.
Oh, don't say that.
I might want to call you for a few minutes.
You couldn't play.
Along with y'all a little bit this year and pick up a little information. You know, it's nice to know those things, and it's hard to get information, you know, run across the right fella at the right time. I just sort of hung around when y'all was working up there.
Well, actually, guy, we made a good crop of melons, but with a little more attention and two or three little things that could have done even better.
Uh-huh.
So, got in a hurry there and broke it when it was a little bit dry and it's hard to break.
Yeah.
And waited to got a rain.
Not as satisfactory.
That's right. Probably that would have helped. Put a little more fertilizer while we fertilize good. That field, some of the others, but we didn't give just what they ought to have. But actually, on the fertilizer, that was all right. I figured on 1,500 pounds an acre on a 688, and it had a couple of minor elements in it. One of them was boron, which not a good one. And manganese, I think, was other. And Then I tried to give them twice as much ammonium nitrate as I did. And I couldn't get no respirator to put out anymore. But I usually put about twice as much ammonium nitrate. But anyhow, that's, you know, when it's first starting off here on the road. But I came back with about 4 pounds of nitrate of potash. Right that last year. And that puts you a couple miles on there.
That, I kept putting a little moisture there, too, if anything, well, won't it?
Yeah, but that helps. If any moisture in there, it'll gather it.
I remember you said before they started cutting or anything, well, in 31 acres, you had about $2,600.
I think that's what Chris said.
That's before you started cutting. That's putting the money to it, isn't
it? Yeah, yet, you know.
That's like buying your land.
Yes, that's one thing that Fred neglects is that one.
Oh, you are?
A little holding down to the belt.
Oh.
We'll have some nice ones, about to last this week, the first and next.
You think so?
Nothing happens to them, of course.
You think they'll be ready by then?
Nice. Yes, yes, sir.
Then they come up with, you missed it.
They never complain for overpayment, do
you? Oh, I see.
This 7:40-50 makes a dollar. Thank you, man.
Well, you know about Camp Blaine.
I worked up there for about a couple of weeks. I worked up there as long as Gina let me. She was about half sick then, and she couldn't move down this place. That was a hot place, so I found out.
Yeah? You were there in the hot season?
I sure was. The hardest first day I worked up there was the hardest day they've had on record in Gainesville in 50 years or something like that.
It seemed hotter than ever because you
yeah,
well,
ain't a shade tree
home.
On that place. No shade trees up there is a pine. You don't get any shade out of a pine tree 50 feet high, 40 feet high. We went up there. Toby Smith and myself went up there. We wanted to get a job. I gonna let Jane stay in here. She went up to Jacksonville, had an operation. I was short of money, and I needed some money pretty bad. I owed the bank a note. So, brother-in-law told us to go up there and see Kirkpatrick and Pearson in Gainesville. They had a job up there that I told him I wasn't any skilled carpenter, anything like that. Yeah, they used it. But Toby over here, he's a pretty good carpenter then. So, we went up there. Had a talk with Mr. Kirkpatrick. He said he didn't need a man with a strong brain and a strong back was what he mostly desired. So we went up there and we built those old grease racks that they put those old army trucks on and greased them. They built them out of wood. The smallest piece of timber we used was a 4x4. The smallest nail we used was a 20 penny, and I didn't know they made nails that big till I got up there. I'll be frank with you. They had some up there that long. You start them with a carpenter's hammer and finish them up with a sledgehammer. And Toby, that first day up there, he tried to go at it too fast and too hard, and he got a heat cramp and it took him down to the infirmary. And he didn't go back up there. He got pretty sick. He got those cramps got in his hand to start with, and got in his arm, and got in his stomach. He's just going double and over. He didn't have any salt fields around there. The next day, they brought a bucket full of salt fields up. They'd like to run me off wearing a pair of tennis shoes up there after that, but I stick a nail on my foot.
Yeah.
But I worked up there for about 3 weeks or something like that after that. I rode up there with Rogers. He was working up there. But they had a good, easy job. They were down at that prefabrication place where they're just making a side of a house, you know, and that wasn't much trouble to do that. Dang grease rack business.
You got all you needed.
We squared up though that old decking that went on top of them in 4x4. They put up a stack of them about that big right out in a asphalt road. And take a cross cut saw, and me and another nigga, me and another man, we'd have to square the ends of those things up. They'd measure them off and they'd get a starter down and saw that whole pile down there, square the ends of them off.
Right out in that boiling sun.
Yeah, I'd like to got it up there one evening. I'd like to pull it knocked off, or I was getting cramps in my fingers and up my arm. But I got by all right.
Well, catch me up, Fred, on the watermelon.
Well, he just
bought
right now.
Well, that's what we're doing. That was we cutting what we got ready and taking to the bell. That's we got a load sold somewhere. Sell.
You haven't got a load sold now?
We just sold it. Got a load already. Got the load.
Well, they came out here, Fred.
Are we back about another load of loading a piece of hand?
Or one of your field trucks?
Yeah.
And you're going to have some more to cut pretty soon.
I doubt if we get through today. Cut yesterday and today. Might get through today.
Who's helping you?
Helping me what? Loading?
Yeah, cutting and loading all.
All Butchin' Ash and people and jail and Gene and Sambo and. I don't know, three or more small.
Oh, my God. Now, this 2-inch rain you got.
Yeah, they'll be open another week anyway.
Yeah, but this will improve them on it.
Well, too much rain will ruin them.
Well, dry as it was, you shouldn't say this too much.
No, I don't get mad too much yet. Well, too much rain will ruin them.
Well, dry as it was, you shouldn't say this too much.
No, I don't get mad too much yet.
Well, I tell you, I was getting be right short, losing patience, you know. I'm
glad to see the rain. I would say if we had more rain, we'd be done fast, and it helps the corn. It ain't going to hurt nothing.
I can wait to be about the last man, you see, but it's getting getting dry again, over where I am. And
it ain't as dry as it is about places. It ain't never rained over there in Newberry and Trenton.
And
corn all still burning up over there.
Oh, really? Well, I thought it rained everywhere but right here.
No, we've been kind of lucky on getting these good old showers. Lucky in other places.
Yeah.
Edward had melons down at Bellevue. Edward had melons at Bellevue, and he never got any rain from the last February till about the middle of his loading season, which was around the 1st of June.
Had water?
He had the water. They watered over 7 times. $2,000 irrigating.
About time, what?
Yeah, I bet he wouldn't do that again if he knew ahead of time, would he?
I don't know. He claimed he may be going to make pretty good money down there.
Even with all that irrigating. Good man. Good man. Did you hear that, Frank? How much?
Anybody that wants a load of cantaloupe, send them around. Cantaloupe. I haven't got them, but there's another fella here that has. Got a trailer load on the cut back.
Yeah. Well, call him up and tell him that old man that's cutting Buddy's melons, his boy runs the bell load out. We wanted a load yesterday.
Well, we'll be back.
Okay. Hold up now,
I think. They have more than a whole cantaloupe right here.
Well, they've been selling pretty well.
I don't know what they've been getting out of this thing, God, I tell you the truth.
Well, I mean, they've been moving them down there.
Yeah, but I think he's got a bunch of them too moving down there now.
Yeah, I just down there and
got
them
overripe,
sure. Yeah, I just down there and got some.
Oh, you did?
Well, I didn't talk to anybody. Not about the cantaloupe.
If I saw anybody that wanted any, well, Freddy said that old man that's running the watermelon belt over there. You talking about getting rid of cantaloupe? Freddy said that old man that runs that watermelon belt over there for Buddy, his son wanted a load of cantaloupes yesterday. Huh? Well, I didn't know whether you knew about it or not. I saw it call him and tell you. Okay.
She knew about it.
Said Bill had been keeping in touch with him, but he drove Van Sheen. He'd been trying to help me move some watermelon and try to help them move. Oh, they got it. Trading around, helping each other out, loading it. The other thing.
Well, they're right down there at the packing house where everybody comes in. Now, you don't fool with them anymore, do you?
I don't fool with anybody except the man who got the cash money and they're famous for them. That's the way I do business with them.
Fred, could you make a little extra if you consign them up the road?
I don't know, guy. I've got caught in that.
Yeah.
Get a trail of them up there. You have them sold here at a good price, and when you get up there, they'll say, well, 50 of them in is rotten, 50 is green.
Yeah.
We have to take that off.
Yeah.
You wait around for an adjustment. It'll probably be a month after you send them up there before you ever get your money out of them. And
yeah.
You don't know how to go in. I'd rather just...
Well, these boys then that come down here to Brother Chuck's, they pay off?
Yes, sir, they sure do. They sure do.
Write your check?
Those two I loaded out there? No, sir, they don't write me a check. If they bonded, I'll take a check on them. If they're not bonded, I won't take them.
You mean they carry cash with them?
They carry cash with them. That guy loaded those two trailers out there the other day. He left here and left the two drivers here before he left. He knew about what they was going to be. Wasn't quite sure, though, had to wait. He walked in here and paid me $1,500 bill. Said two boys out there said I was afraid to leave this much money with them. They might check out or something. I left enough to pay the balance. Afraid he went down and got about $150 more or something like that.
Okay. Well, now, what do you do with that money?
Yeah.
Put in the post office?
I got a little place over a hole in the ground I carried out there and buried it.
You have to get it off your hands, Fred. You can't hold it. Hold
don't
it.
You worry. I'll get it off my hands.
Nobody gonna hit your head,
boy. Nobody don't know I got it until after I got rid of it.
You don't want to...
I'm scared to let too many people know I got it, because some of my old might be up here.
Yeah. Well, now, how can you get it off your hands? You got to go to the bank,
haven't you? I'll carry it up there to the bank. That's the best way to be.
I'd make it... I'd get right up there. Lord help us. I didn't think my life would be safe if I had $50 on me.
Man, over in 1951, I stayed over there on 301 and sold watermelons for William Christian. That's Bill Wynn's daddy-in-law. He had about 500 acres over there at the hail. We went and had them all packed up on top, and all we could do was be selling to this truck trader that comes down here, these peddlers. And I'd check in at the office every night. They stayed open till about 8 or 9 o'clock. I'd collect it from those colored sharecroppers over there. Collect it from the truck driver. Tell him how much I had, what they sold there and all, and then I'd carry it on into the office. I had stayed out there, though, when they wanted to finish the truck, so till 11:30 at night and come home with maybe $2,000 in the pocket of the bill.
God, man. When was that?
That was 1951.
Did he make his money mostly on the side like that and produce and all?
He made quite a bit of it that way, but he's always pretty shrewd. Business man. I always thought he'd come straight and all he'd do what he said he would. He'd pay you a price of something today and you sold it to him today. If you waited till next year to get your money, it'd be down there to the penny for you. He didn't do very much buying though. He was right back in those days, we consigned a lot of stuff. And he got a rebate from those fellas up the country there that he represented. He represented Gamble Weinstein Company. New York for years. They used to ship a lot of lettuce up that thing. Eggplants, cucumbers, and all that kind of stuff. And, he had a pretty good
pretty good outlet up there. They didn't sell it for what he thought it ought to be sold, even though he didn't have any. If he's selling another man's stuff, he'd call him up and he'd really give him a fit about it. He'd tell him he couldn't get it unless he got more for him. I'd say that much for him. He'd get it good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our stuff went in by freight then, too. We'd go by truck.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we'd get all fouled up on making connections up there. They'd route a bunch of stuff up there, and sometimes they'd hit it back south. You know how a railroad company used to be. And we'd put in a claim for it. And he'd always get your claim for you and give it to you. It'd be right.
Seemed like there was some produce dealer down there that was always getting things crossed up, Fred. I forget the names of them. Wasn't there another one down there?
There was Cockle.
Yeah.
Cockle. Christian Cockle was. Cockle was active in it, though. Christian, he was just a silent partner in it.
Oh, oh.
He and Miss Patterson and John McCray and Louise Graham all had a big row here about watermelon crop or bean crop or something. I don't know who was right in it. Cockle handled watermelon for me for a number of years, and he did all right. He didn't do any work on it.
Louise Graham was in on that?
Yes.
Louise Graham and who?
Miss Patterson. They put in a suit against him. They put in a... Oh, they had the Commission of Agriculture in on it. No.
Who else was besides her?
I think that was the only two. I don't know if there's anybody else in it.
Oh, I thought you mentioned somebody else.
But John McCray, but I don't know whether he put in a claim in or not.
Mm-hmm.
Watermelon business is kind of a rat race. I'm going to tell you that right now, especially when you got a bad market. Now, if they come down here and buy stuff from you today and the market's good and high, say, 3 cents a pound, and they don't know about the movement of what's going to be out here today, and if things slide down to about a cent, cent and a half a pound, they're going to do everything in the world they can. If you've got it consigned, they're going to beat you out of that price if they can. They'll find anything in the world they can with a watermelon up there to get back eating.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I like this cash business down here. I know what a melon are today. I get a ticket for them. I can go up there and collect it from the office at the end of the week. I can go up there tonight and collect it. As soon as I sell them,
down,
load them down.
Down
I can go down and pick my money up, yes.
Yeah.
And these fellas that come in here, these trucks, these peddlers, they weigh their trucks when they come in. We load them with watermelons and tell them what we're selling for a pound to them. They carry the truck back down there and weigh them, and we get the money right there.
Yeah, now who sets the price?
I get a watermelon bulletin.
Yes, yeah, sir.
But the only thing is, now I get that bulletin today. It'll be yesterday's market. It's put out by the state.
Now, when they go down there and weigh out, Fred, do they come back up here and pay you?
Fred follows them down there.
Oh, he goes with them, I see. He follows them down there.
Well, he had the funniest thing to happen several years ago. There was an old Jew that came over there to Citra. We were loading watermelons over there. We had a bunch of junk over there, stuff we filled out, you know. And we wanted it. We told him what we loaded for. Well, he'd be back to get it. He said, well, you better give us a deposit on it then if you want to hold it for you. So he gave him about $50, I think, deposit on the load. And came back out there. We loaded him. He was quarreling about it. It wasn't what he thought it was, and this and that and the other. Trying to chisel us some on the price, but we wouldn't give him a bit on the price because he'd already made the price. We loaded him out, and he paid Freddie. And Freddie never thought about that deposit that he'd given him. Oh, you forgot about it. Well, I finished him out there, and Freddie got in his truck. He wasn't there. To come home, he started up the road. He got about halfway up in. There's a Cadillac behind him, a blowing and a going on. And finally, stopped him. That old Jew after he started it.
Yeah.
He gave him back his $50. Boy, that old fellow's about to have a heart attack.
I'm telling you, that was just clear money, wasn't it? He was letting that guy away.
The pay to get back, he just got in a rush out there and forgot about it.
Lord Johnson. Yeah. Lord getting any melon?
He cut right good. Still good out there the other day. I cut about a couple of that.
And you know, one of these?
Just a steel truck.
Steel truck.
He finished out a load of him for Bill Williams.
Oh. Well, good for him. Now, will he make a little out of it?
He told me he's about even now. He's asking me a little bit.
Funniest thing I ever heard about giving back the wrong team, you know, there was a fella that got caught in a speed trap somewhere up in South Carolina, Georgia, or somewhere. It was one of those terrible traps, you know, like they had. And they caught him, and he went to court with him, and he explained it to him. He was in the right the way he told it. He said his fine for about $50. Well, he paid him, and the man gave him back the, I don't know what bill, denomination bill, but anyway, when they gave him back his change, they gave him back the $50 and about $20 on top of that. Wrong change. Well, he put it in his pocket and came on down the state. And this old justice of the peace wrote him down here and asked him if he didn't make a mistake on it. I think he wrote him back and told him he made a mistake when he caught him up there, so he couldn't tell him about the change. I don't much blame him, though.
Yeah. Oh, they had a time on those old traps.
Oh, they had one over in Mickinoka. That fellow Duncan was a marshal over there, and he had a regular racket over there on that thing for a while.
Yeah. City of Mickinoka? Mm-hmm. That paid the police for it.
Paid the mayor and all over there, then. They all making a killing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know anything.
These superhighways done away with a lot of that, though.
Yeah.
It's Interstate 75, you know.
You can't hardly go no faster
unless you're on that. You sure can. You know, you better have a good car out there, too.
Glad it up.
That's the best place in the world, that way your wheels aren't lying or not. Your front wheels. You sure need some tires after you run out there about a day with
it. Maybe not that long.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got in Valdosta, Georgia. And had to buy a set of tires. Not a set. Rome, Georgia.
Yeah, that's the way on up there.
Yeah. I've gotten away with that on 75 last.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Weather.
Well, we'll have a shower this afternoon.
Any more wind?
I don't think so. I don't know. The cloud don't look like wind. But yes, it is a terrible wind.
Mm-hmm. And some lightning.
Yes, it was. But it's so warm that it's going to rain. I don't know about that storm, but it's going to rain.
I saw him down here yesterday, didn't I? Didn't I see him down here yesterday?
He was here yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know where you see him.
Yeah. I'm going to stop by, but I...
Oh,
yeah. Except my...
It wasn't no shower. We had a rain last night. Jeez.
How's the lunch with?
Granddaddy, I sure tempted. Where'd you get all them good peas? Gosh,
I don't know.
Gosh,
peas. You ain't good to eat.
Yeah, go on, eat on. I don't stop. I just want to speak to y'all. See how you get along.
Yes, bye.
Like, see my Peter?
Oh, that's a beauty.
Ain't that pretty?
Yeah.
And that's one of the questions you gave me.
Uh-huh.
And there's another one that got on the last little one, see? Like this,
oh, you're doing good. That's good. They'll make beautiful trees.
They will. I love cedar trees.
Yeah. That's out there where you can see it, too.
Right there. I put it right there where I can look at it.
You seen that pretty one over yonder? It's way over there by the corner of that shed.
Yes.
Oh, it's just beautiful. Every time I pass there, I look at it.
You know them right there. They're pretty. Oh, they started to pass by a girl.
Yeah.
It looked like they were spread out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And right up yonder, there's some the clump of them, you know, in the lane.
Uh-huh.
They have pretty ones right up there.
Well, you have some over there in the yard, don't you?
Cedars?
Yeah.
Yeah. I planned to border all along here.
And you got several of them out there, too.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And I noticed your pines. You can see them before them weeds come up there.
Mm-hmm.
You could see them.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do all right.
I think so, too.
They just had a couple of bad seasons.
No. Oh, they do well. She's living
there. Yeah.
She's supposed to have some bad weather.
And then that old Bahia grass crowds them too, you know.
That's right.
Now they're up now to where I don't think it'll do it. And then I.
Well,
See, I didn't have any hay last year.
No.
When I bought that old side mower. See, that old tractor mower I had wouldn't make hay. Just pulverize it.
We set up about 75 acres of old iron yonder. That man had us to put hay around every tree.
Yeah?
Plenty of it.
Yeah, plenty of it.
Plenty of it.
Yeah. Keeps it moist and keeps it from choking out.
And you put that hay around that, it tend to come back and go.
Yeah. Yeah. Say that little mulberry getting big enough to climb, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. They go just as far as they can. They got a big one on the back. I was there while I was going to kill them. Up there. Yep, there. One laying on them on this side and one laying on them on this side. But that's boys. And it's just it's two girls here. Five. For some six boys. And the girls go just where the boys go. And now, this time of year,
you see people. Now that's
it. Went on across. That's the way the sun would start standing back there, and then going on. And I said, well, I guess all of you going all over.
Yeah. Yeah, good sign. But generally, we don't get it over there.
No, sir.
Not very often.
I was mostly come from this way.
This time of year.
Coming from every week.
Yeah. Well, I don't care which way it comes, just so it gets
just so it falls on the ground.
Just so it falls on the ground.
No. How you been?
Very well. You know, $6,000 worth. And I was so surprised. He picked up the check last night and sent it on to the bank. So I thought, well, it'd be our luck for him to go down and pick up the check and find the check of Mr. Hornog out of the country. But he did. Come through all right.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, over $6,000. Now, I don't know whether that includes the $1,572 of the first check we got or not. I haven't asked for anything. But I wasn't feeling like this morning talking any business with him, so I heard him say it was something like $6,100 or some odd dollars.
Oh, yeah. Well, that beats $2,000.
Sure did, didn't he? I could take him ring his neck to try something like that with us.
Looks to me like you just about clean them out.
I want to get the cows in there so bad, and if I wasn't feeling so bad, I'd go back there with a hammer and a piece of wire and wire that back up down there just to turn them loose.
You just take care of yourself.
No, day before I went to the doctor, I got out here and got the bull out of this field and brought him up here to let him in there with the milk cow. And, that was a day's work I did this then. But
I want to hear the details of it sometime. Just how it come down. You said, what's the highest price they brought? Do you know? 2 cents.
It was bringing 4 cents at the other end. And he was getting 2.5, and it dropped a quarter.
Uh-huh.
He got 2.5 for the first load, and it dropped a quarter for the rest.
Uh-huh.
And,
well, that's phenomenal.
Now, he's got all the weights and everything in there on a piece of paper. So I could probably look them up for you.
No, I don't know the exact amount.
But I thought they did pretty well after all the worry we did.
But then you all shipped him up to the man in Atlanta.
No.
Mr. Horn did.
Yeah. He did all the. We didn't have anything to do with him after
well,
they left the field.
Yeah.
He bought him. Right
he bought
him
right here at the field.
Uh-huh. Well, he bought him. What he did. See, they packed him in these trucks, and then the truck went down to Mayflower and was weighed. Then he picked up the weight tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tallies up all the weight tickets at the end of the. Well, you can get paid for each truck if you want to, or you can get paid for each day or each week or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we just waited till after the. First picking, we waited till they got through picking the entire business before we got paid this last time.
Well, I never saw them go through the fields like this. Hell, that was just Friday a week ago.
I know it.
And now they're through, aren't they?
They're all through. They got all the calls and everything out of it. They went over that field and over it and over it. I don't think they've missed no one. Now, there'll probably be some small ones out there in another day or two.
Well, that's phenomenal.
But the rest of them are all gone.
She's gone. Well, Marcia's gone too. You see, Georgia's coming now.
That's right. We just hit it just right. We can do it again if we had tried to find it.
You timed it. You couldn't hit it.
We were working in the blind.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm greatly relieved. That's fine.
Well, it'll help us right now. I mean, with all the expenses coming on now.
Now you can go ahead and finish your.
No, I want him to take some of this and invest it down there around that station and see if we can't move it. I want to get rid of it.
You're tired for that.
Yes, it's too much of a worry. And I think if he, you know, pretties up the front of it and plants some shrubbery and whatnot around there and make it a little more attractive, it might sell better.
Uh-huh.
The way it is, it's just the grass needs mowing. It's up this high and it needs to be cleaned out around there. And
they're going on.
You down going that way?
Yeah.
Well, let's go down there and see.
I got
blocked
down
there. Let me tell you, huh?
They're getting green and coles and polecats and possums to lead them. And you know, you wouldn't hardly believe this. You can go around there and strike a fox, but you know what it's after? Rats go down these cells there too. And they're after the rats. I didn't know it for a long time.
And I hadn't heard that.
I used to, when I was a kid, we had dogs, and the dog got after the fox. I'd run myself to death trying to get around and shoot that fox.
Yeah.
Come to find out, by the way, I forgot larger. And got to reading, keeping up with it. We all got to experimenting on it. They'll slip up around your house and catch more rats than all the house cats in the country.
Well, I'll be dead behind.
We'd up down at High Springs here a while back now. The other fellas would probably didn't know it, but I'd know what the dogs get on. They all had to trot along there and hunt in front of the car and see which one was have to holler to get out of the road and all like that. That's why they all went running. They didn't run right. And all at once their choice was going to come back. They'd run the blue things. I didn't hear one of them. I turned some miles. I didn't hear one of them bark. That's why I just could hear this old walker dog about a mile back up there. Oh, oh. We drove there, the dog wasn't trailing. It's cold. And he'd got right around some houses up there, and he'd said, oh, them, man. And just had her by herself, you know, out there. And there's some of their dogs went, but they wouldn't trail it. They wouldn't even do it. They're afraid they're listening to the car. They're afraid they're going to drive off and leave me.
Oh.
Doug is down here in the bunch, too.
Yeah.
And he had a good little jip in there, but he caught her so she couldn't come back. Thank you. I already saved her back. I knew what I needed, just put me some dogs there. It's a while one of these fellas walked back down between these houses and caught this dog of mine. He took him up and drove around and didn't have no way. I wouldn't turn him loose in them. And they never did jump no fellas. We don't hit all night.
Well.
You taking a 4-5-9, I tell them all, I said, don't never go around at this time of year, around fox hunting and 4-5-9 around people's places. Never go around nobody's place unless you get permission. Because as sure you go in the 4-5-9, that fox will go up in there around the feed to catch those rats and things around the place. And I said, your dog trail right around to serve the people. then if a roving dog comes through here and does something dirty, they'll think it's you. And
yeah.
I said, it gives a bad impression.
Yeah.
I said, always let
the And they won't talk it out with you. They'll just hold it against you, so you're back.
Some of them will. Some of them will tell you they'd rather you wouldn't at certain times, you know. And some won't. I've had them up in North Alabama tell me, says, don't hunt around my place now, because our cotton's opening now. Says, we don't want to run through our cotton patch. Well, we didn't do it either, because we all tried to cooperate. Then just as soon as they picked the cotton over, you know, they didn't care how much we
had.
And we never would.
Well, when did you find that out, that them foxes are doing that?
Back up then, back in the first of 20s, in 18.
Yeah, well, you've been doing it a good while.
I've been doing it ever since 1906, huh?
Yeah.
But when I didn't know, I thought you're supposed to kill everything, but you're not. You only, if it gets too many, they can get too many to cause diseases that can come through and kill them out. Then another thing, they will, you take a gray fox, will, when they got young ones, food's real scarce, will catch a chicken. Most of the feathers you see is where the chicken has died and somebody throws out there and they pitch it up and carry it. And I didn't know it for a long time. They experimented up at Auburn, Alabama. They caught 100 fox. And so we can walk, I can tell you this, if we're going around it. We can just walk right around it.
Okay.
We can ride either one.
Yeah. Well, I got the interest in what you're saying, huh?
Well, we're going that. Turn that down at the V-shape right around the corner there, to the left.
You go back down here?
Yeah. Go on around the corner, right in there. Turn right in there. Turn right around the corner there,
right
down there.
Right here?
Yeah. You can go right down in there, quick around there, and fish the bus road right around there.
No, I've never been down this way.
Well, I know, George Myers took stuff in here and stopped that car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to throw this up. That's why nobody thinks he can drive in here. Stop right in the shade of that tree there. He knows about how it comes in right here.
Right along here?
Yeah.
That 2 miles last year, and one a shot right in there, I think. And I once sold him $300. The dog has helped him make a living. he is a mate to this one, on just a year younger, and his mate, letter mate, got killed both the same day. And you know, you
I
know,
heard the man, don't you?
I wouldn't sold those two $500. And the other's worth $100. Here's a old oh, come here, Anna. Come here, Anna. She's gonna she run right up on it. Don't pay no attention, she won't bite you. Come on, Anna. You come around, usually she runs just strange with it.
Hi there.
If you get right up on here, I'll hold you back so she won't bite you.
That won't hurt me. Hi there, Pete.
Now, she's 70 yeah. years old.
Well, that's a good system.
That man, I've got two little old. That yonder, well, I thought I was going to lose him. How long did
yeah. yeah.
He's getting, kind of getting booked in. This one and his mate, I lost four of the mates of that, and I had five of them. And, of course, he acts kind of silly because I'll tell you not. Fuck off, he's just a little over a year old, listen to me. See. That and right yonder is a mate to this one down here.
He's just a little over a year old.
Just a little bit, he's a little over about 18 months old. Here, a year old. They're just not young. These mates here, they're just a year old. Now, these are the highest blooded walker dogs can be bought.
Is that a name of a dog, Mr.?
That's the walker was started the breeding of.
Yeah.
Wedge Walker.
Yeah.
Way back down in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And they started breeding, and see, they got history. I got pedigrees, six generations on these dogs.
Oh, you have?
And I the same. You see, the mother, right out yonder, this dog here, and that one and this one here, was mate to those that got killed.
He got a good voice, didn't he?
Yeah, they got good tongue. You ought to have heard that in it. That and my big stud dog. He had a big saddleback and had a big flag tail. Bigger, more flag tail than these. These tails get a little bit more flags on them. See, that's kind of in the breeding right there.
Hello.
You see, when my hip starts coming swelling up, two feet off the ground, you get put a jip up and don't let them run loose. Right here, you won't see no bunch of dogs around here messing around here. They don't let jips in there and heat coming here.
Oh, well, how do you know?
There's a lot to learn about dogs.
And then you're not worried.
No.
All the time.
No, they don't do anything. I have them here in the kitchen. And here's another one. He's holding up here. I could probably buy one or two more days. Just to run out of that one too. I'm going to build a big house in here. Hasn't it? Now, these are young dogs. See, I've had to raise again to get started on Tallulah. See, I went in there to breed and raise these two letters. And I had to because I lost many of those onions.
That almost put you out of business.
Man, kind of over $1,000 worth. You see, I just started swelling up 3 days ago. And look how big she is. Now then, a lot of people don't understand it because I've raised and bred dogs all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she won't take a dog now. Looks like she would, but she won't. But when that swelling kind of goes down, she'll take a dog then.
Oh.
And for about 9 days.
She attract them now?
Yeah. They'll follow her. Now, they'll come and watch and watch her as she gets ready now, if she is out.
Uh-huh.
But she'd be in this kennel, they don't smell.
I see.
Then when I take her out, I won't let her out here on the ground. I'll put her up. 2 feet off the ground, you'd be dry. And see, I clean it out every day, and I eat a little dirt up in there. And I just put that up yesterday. Last night was the first time she'd been in there at night. See, when they come in heat, you see, I put them up, and I'm not going to breed these young dogs. In fact, I'm not going to breed these young dogs. I'll do that. When I lose these, it'll be all of it. I just well make up my mind. Yeah, I'm 71 years old.